Hi, this is David Greenwalt, founder of The Leanest Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle Online. I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed creating this recording. If you would like access to my entire library of informative and cutting-edge interviews and conferences, simply visit www.leanestlifestyle.com. That's www.LeanestLifestyle.com. That's www.LeanestLifestyle.com. And now, on to the recording. Today I'm speaking with Lifestyle at Work success, Laura Ross. Laura, could you tell me a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, how old you are, that kind of stuff?
Sure. I work at KSB Hospital. I've worked here going on 13 years. And right now I'm working in information systems as a data operator. I've been down in this department for about 4 years now.
Okay.
I work with the phone bills and cell phone bills, things like that, troubleshooting of computer problems, and a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. How about like the home life? What's tell us a little bit about that. As far as married, kids, got anything going on there?
Okay. I've been married just over 10 years. In September, and we have three kids, a 13-year-old daughter, an 8-year-old daughter, and a 6-year-old son.
Okay. So you work outside the home full-time?
Yes.
Okay, so like so many moms that do that, you are extremely busy on at least 5 days a week.
Right.
Okay. How old are you? Did you already tell us how old you were?
No, I didn't.
Okay, how old and how tall?
37 and 5'4".
37 and 5'4".
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did you initially hear about the Leanest Lifestyle and the Lifestyle at Work program?
Oh, I guess I heard about it at work through our wellness program, that it was going to be offered, that KSB was going to be sponsoring this program.
Okay. And I just want to make sure, too, that you're speaking right into the voice thing on your phone, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so did you eventually come see me do a presentation?
Yes.
Okay. And so you were made aware of it through your wellness coordinator, and then you came to a presentation that I gave that was basically a kickoff for Lifestyle at Work.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so that's a little bit about how we kind of got together. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your history with weight? Have you fought it for a long time? Was there only a short period where you were heavier than you wanted to be? Kind of tell us about, you know, whether it started in grade school, high school, or what. Take us back to the beginning and tell us what your weight struggles, if there were any, were like.
Okay. Yeah, I know it didn't start in grade school. It had to have started once I started junior high school in that area, because I know, I do remember a coach in cross country telling me that I should go on a diet, and then I weighed 140 pounds, 140, 145. So it just seemed like it crept up on me over the years, being married and having kids and working and not eating right.
When did this coach first tell you that you need to get some weight off?
I think it was a junior in high school.
Oh, okay. So you were about 140 or 145 then?
Yes.
Okay. So at that time, what did you think about yourself at that time when before the coach made that comment, how did you view yourself? And then how did you feel when he said that?
Well, I didn't think that I was overweight by any means. I mean, I could have lost a few pounds here and there, I guess, but in my mind, I didn't think that it was a problem. I kind of resented him for making that comment because I looked at him as someone who was more physically fit, and he was a lot leaner and thinner and a smaller built person than a lot of the girls were in cross country anyway.
Okay.
So I kind of felt like, who is he to talk? You know, he doesn't know me. He doesn't know anything about me.
And right. But up until that time, you felt, overall, as I suppose any teenage girl could, you felt pretty good about yourself overall.
Right.
Okay. So you weren't in, some kind of, anguish or whatever, saying, oh, I'm 145 pounds and I'm whatever.
No, I wasn't even thinking about
sure.
it, really.
That's great. All right, so you became aware of it instantaneously when he said, you might want to drop a couple of pounds or whatever. And so you got out of high school, then what?
Then I got married and 4 years later got divorced. And when I got divorced, I had a different job also that where I was more active, and between the divorce, not wanting to eat, not being happy in that, and working I had dropped probably lower than 140 then. I was back in the 130s then at that point.
Had you, during your marriage, the first marriage, had you gotten heavier? And if so, to about what?
No, I didn't get heavier then. I mean, we had a daughter together, and I had the weight after the pregnancy, but it seemed like that came off, and it wasn't a problem then until I actually got married the second time.
Oh, okay. So during the divorce, you lost that that not going to eat weight and that kind of thing, and you, like you said, you got into the 130s. Then you got remarried,
mm-hmm.
and it was after that that you went from the 130s to about what? How long did it take?
Well, when I had my second daughter, I think I weighed 190 right before she was born, and I thought I'll lose this. I lost the weight before. It won't be a problem, but I didn't actually lose all the weight. I think every time I had another child, I just kept on a little bit more of that weight and didn't try to change it to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. So you ended up, what, staying at what weight for how long? And then also, you know, tell me about, you know, any other things maybe you tried, if you did try anything.
Okay. I probably stayed between 160 and 170. I was working in an office where we would bring in snacks and food quite often, and, you know, didn't think anything of it then that I was getting heavy. It wasn't until I weighed myself most recently here back in April or so, April or May, and I weighed 180 pounds that I thought it was time to do something. I did try a low-carb diet, I think, the summer before, and lost probably 10 pounds right away. But it was something that I didn't stick with. I didn't feel that it was the healthiest diet to stay on, you know, let alone for life. But so.
Mm-hmm. So is that about it, though? Just one attempt in the 10 years of marriage, and you did it with low carb in 2003, and that's been about it?
I guess I would go in spurts where I would try to watch what I ate, but I really wasn't watching what I ate like I am now.
Okay.
You know, yes, I need to eat more chicken and fish, but I'd still eat two or three helpings of pasta or rice or something alongside of it.
Okay.
My vegetables or.
Okay.
I wasn't counting calories.
So it was a little more haphazard, not quite as structured.
Right.
All right. So you kind of led us into it, but what did you weigh when you first found leanest lifestyle and lifestyle at work then? Was it 180 or?
Yeah, it was 180. I think when I first logged into leanest lifestyle, it was 178. But.
Okay. And when was that?
The middle of May. I think it was.
Middle of May 2004.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And what do you weigh today?
150.
150 even.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so just really almost 30 pounds.
Right.
And today is September 23rd,
mm-hmm.
I think that's September 23rd. So you've got middle of June, middle of July, middle of August, and we're in the middle of September, so really about 4 months.
Right.
So that's excellent. That's excellent. Do you know how your body fat has changed, too? Any idea on that?
I don't know what it was to begin with. It was, I think it's 30% now, but I don't remember what it was. I don't know what it was before that.
I think in our previous conversations, you had a test done at some point in time, maybe not right when you started, but at some point in time you had a body fat test, and it was, I don't know what it was. When was that, and what was it?
I think it was January, and I think it was 35.
Okay.
Percent, but they didn't ask us for our specific weight. I mean, we didn't have to weigh ourselves. We just gave them a guess as to what we weighed. So I'm fairly certain I lied low.
Yeah. Yeah. In other words, you know, everybody has their driver's license weight and then their real weight.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, during this process, during these 4 months, what was harder than you thought it would be?
Actually, taking the time to exercise, make a commitment to exercise and get out and do something. I was really caught up in not having time to do this and too busy, and I have kids, and I didn't take the time for myself, and I didn't take the time to exercise. I didn't try to take the time.
Well, how did you fit it in then? Because I got to be honest, you know, when somebody new comes in, especially in a business environment or whether an employee of a company or they're an individual, the number one excuse given for not beginning, especially with exercise, is I don't have the time. So what do you say to that?
I just decided I had to make the time. I had to fit it in somewhere. If I had a load of clothes I didn't get washed that night, or I had dishes in my sink, oh, well, I just had to get out and at least get my exercise done. School schedules helped me out this year, where I have two of the younger kids off on the school bus a little earlier, and then my older daughter leaves an hour after that, so I try to exercise in between that, so that seemed like that helped too. It helped our mornings, they're not so rushed.
So are you trying to tell me that you went to bed with dishes in the sink and the house didn't cave in?
Yep.
You mean to tell me that there was a load of laundry not done and the earth didn't stop spinning?
That's right.
but I know what you mean, and I know a lot of women do too, but you know, prior to that, you've probably felt, you tell me, but did you feel like it was just something that you just fell out of sorts if you would let that stuff go because of time and whatnot?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So the harder part then for you was rearranging your schedule and making the time that all of us do have available to us for the exercise.
Right.
Well, what was easier? Was there anything easier than you thought it might be?
Oh, let me think. Well, I was supposed to eat so many vegetables, and I like vegetables, so I guess that was one of the easiest things. I already knew that I liked vegetables. I like to cook, so I guess that was the easiest thing, just trying to get my vegetables and drinking enough water. That was probably the quickest and easiest adjustment I made.
Okay. During the last 4 months, was every day a bed of roses as far as just everyday life, or was there anything at all that would have or could have acted like a stumbling block in the past where it would have really thrown you off course had you not been a part of the program? Had anything happened in the last 4 months, or was it all just pretty much smooth sailing?
Oh, I wasn't completely smooth, but I didn't let the things bother me. I just would try to go on and get done what I could, and there were days I didn't feel like exercising or didn't want to go down in our basement where we have our weights or my elliptical trainer, but I just made myself do it, I guess, pushed myself to do it.
Well, in the past, you may have, you know, started and stopped or done it for a few weeks and then said, ah, to heck with it. Would that be a true statement?
Yes, that would.
So what was different this time? I mean, obviously you had just as many opportunities. I mean, my gosh, with three kids and a husband and a house and a full-time job and all that to take care of, well, you say you forced yourself to go ahead and exercise. Well, you know, I always discuss when I'm looking at, you know, body transformations and lifestyle principles that there's no law that says you have to do this, and there's certainly, you know, no one holding a gun to anyone's head that says you've got to be fit and you've got to do this to be fit. And, you know, one of the things that people realize is that there is really no one that's necessarily holding them accountable or telling them that they have to do it. And so they get what I call a hot flash for a day or two or a few weeks, and then, yeah, it just kind of falls off. Well, why didn't that happen to you then? What do you mean you forced yourself to go ahead and exercise? Why did you keep doing it? What kept you going?
I guess this time it was just different. I just really believed that I wanted to do this and I wanted to accomplish this, and I knew that if I let myself quit halfway that I would never find out what it could have been like. So I guess I just kept going towards that. I actually have a dress in my basement that I wore 11 years ago at a wedding reception with my husband now, and I was bound and determined I was going to fit in that dress again. I wanted to fit into it by our 10th wedding anniversary, which was just a few days ago, but it doesn't quite fit, but I'm closer than I ever thought I would be. So I guess I just stayed focused. I just tried to...
Would you say that you had more of a burning desire instead of just a kind of a hot flash? I mean, instead of that, I want it, but if it doesn't happen,
I think so, because I didn't quit this time. Right. I would have quit long before this before, and...
Well, starting at 178 or 180, would you say that early on some of your early success really motivated you to continue?
I would definitely. I know that. I mean, just getting up in the morning and stepping on the scale and seeing that I'd lost another pound or two here or there, it just seemed like that just made it worth it. You know, well, maybe exercise isn't such a bad thing. You know, I can keep doing this.
You've lost about 30 pounds in 4 months, but I doubt if it was in exactly the same amount every week. And I would suspect that you may have lost a little bit more in the beginning. How did your weight loss kind of go?
Yeah, I did lose quite a bit. It seems really fast in the beginning. It's not coming off as fast as it was then, but it is still going down. But and I'm assuming just because I had a complete lifestyle change, I wasn't eating the same way anymore, and so now my body's probably adjusted to that, and I'll have to readjust my training again. But
mm-hmm. Okay. Well, for the people that don't really know what the program's like and kind of what a typical day is like, can you give us an idea of what a typical, not a perfect, not the world's best award-winning day, but what a typical day for you is food-wise. How do you start the day? What's your next meal, your next meal, your next meal, your next meal, and so on? Take us all the way to bedtime.
Okay. Well, I get up in the morning and usually drink a glass of water with my vitamins and get the kids ready for school and that. And after that, then I make my breakfast, and I generally always have eggs and toast in the morning, or eggs and oatmeal, or eggs and cream of wheat, something like that. I always have two eggs, one whole egg and one egg white scrambled, and I throw in a little vegetables in there to help get my vegetable count in for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Then probably a little bit more water. At work, I usually have a
let me just interrupt one, and I'm sorry about this, but I got to make this because I caught it in my mind as soon as you said what you have for breakfast, and I noticed that every one of your breakfast examples
mm-hmm.
had something in common. Why do you have eggs with toast? Why do you have eggs with cream of wheat? Why do you have eggs with oatmeal or whatever it was? Why do you have that combo?
I guess I like that because when I was logging in initially and reading the numbers in front of me, I noticed that the protein and carbs were more balanced this way, and I had less fat, and I still had enough to eat that I was full. I wasn't hungry an hour later.
So that's what I caught, and that's what I want you to bring out. You're paying close attention to the balancing.
Right.
You don't just have eggs by themselves.
Right.
And you don't have just oatmeal by itself. Not usually, anyway.
Right.
You try to balance your protein and carbs. Okay, excellent. Yeah, I mean, it struck me that way. Every single one of your meals is like, yep, that's balanced. Yes, that's balanced, and so on. So, okay, so we're through breakfast, and then you've got a little snack coming up, and you're going to have what? Did you say yogurt?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've found some yogurt that was also balanced, carb-wise and protein-wise.
Really? What is it?
It's called Ultra, Yoplait Ultra.
Yoplait Ultra.
Yep.
Okay, so you found that that's got a low enough sugar and a high enough protein where it's pretty balanced.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right, so it's lunchtime now, right?
Well, then I usually have a Carbo Bar, which is something else I found for all this, and some vegetables.
Oh, what kind of bar?
It's called a Carbwell Bar. It's has 10 grams of protein and 15 carbs.
Okay.
And it was just kind of like a protein bar, but it's not as big, so it's not as many calories
right.
in that either. So.
Carbwell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Goes well with my vegetables in the morning. So.
So you have, when do you have the Carbwell Bar?
Usually about 11 o'clock.
Okay. All right, next.
Then lunchtime I try to pick either chicken, fish, or turkey, something like that, with some more vegetables, and sometimes I'll have some cottage cheese with that, or whole grain bread, or a lot of times I get salads. I get salads here at work at the salad bar.
Well, I don't think they serve that first meal at McDonald's, so do you mean to tell me that you actually make it and bring it to work?
I do that quite a bit. I make them ahead of time and bring them in, so that way I always have something to eat, and I know what it is when I eat it then. Otherwise, I may go down and get something in the cafeteria, but I hound our cafeteria director to help me find out what's in it first so I can log it. And
making sure there's nothing hidden.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so I think we're getting through lunch now. Now what?
In the afternoon, I'd probably have, that's when I usually have some fruit and cottage cheese or some fruit and some yogurt again.
Okay. And keep going.
And when I go home for dinner, I generally would cook out on our grill and make either chicken or fish. Once in a while, some red meat. And I usually try to make some brown rice or whole wheat pasta, something like that with some vegetables. I like making the wrap. That's one of the things I like a lot. I get a low-carb wrap and slice up some vegetables on the grill and put it all together.
Okay.
And after I work out, then I generally have a protein shake or a protein bar, and that's usually my seventh meal of the day.
And that's pretty much the day.
Mm-hmm.
Are you eating more vegetables now than you were 4 months ago? Or you said you were a vegetable lover.
Yeah, I like vegetables anyway. I guess I didn't try to watch how much of them I ate a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I may have only had one or two servings a day instead of three or four or five servings a day like I would now. So.
Okay. Well, it's probably not as appropriate a question for you, but there are so many people that aren't vegetable lovers that I like to ask, what did they do to bring more vegetables in? And one of the things you said is you put vegetables in your omelet mm-hmm. or your scrambled eggs, and you just said you put vegetables on your low-carb wrap. You know, slice them up and grill them. And
right.
Do you do any? What do you do to make them taste good? I get so many people who are like, I hate vegetables. They taste awful. I'm not a vegetable eater. I don't know how to get them in. How do you eat those things? They're nasty. What yeah. do you do?
Well, I know I like the fresh. I prefer the fresh ones. Just like to have carrots with a dip or celery with a dip or something of low calorie or a light cream cheese dip or something like that. I have used, but
okay.
Otherwise, when I grill them, I've got all kinds of seasonings and that in my cupboard that I just like to try different ones to see what tastes good on what. And
well, give me at least one or two specifics for people listening, so because they're going to be sitting there wanting to write down what does she use to make them taste good.
I use some of the Mrs. Dash. They have different spice categories, like a spicy, or they have some for vegetables, or what else? There's a couple other ones for chicken that I think I use on there, and seasoning salt.
Okay, for your vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you put any spray butter or anything like that on them, or what do you?
If I cook them inside on my on my stove, I'll put some of the Pam spray.
Okay.
In the pan. Otherwise, I cook them on the grill, and I don't spray anything on the grill. But
okay. How do you? And this is going to be this is more of a man question. How do you grill vegetables without them falling through?
If I thought they were going to fall through, I would probably put some aluminum foil underneath there and put a couple holes in aluminum foil to still. I'm one that likes the char part of it
on right.
the vegetables. So
right. Yeah.
I don't usually use them, or I just slice them big enough. I also have skewers to put them on if I thought that was going to be a problem.
Okay. Let's move on. Well, let me ask this real quick. In the last 4 months, have you completely foregone anything that tastes good?
I wouldn't say completely, but yeah, a lot of the times I have, yes. I mean, we have donuts in our office daily almost, and I've many days turned them down. So.
But not every day?
Yeah, not every day. I mean, so, I allow myself a splurge here and there. We'd have a birthday party for someone, and they'd bring in a Dairy Queen ice cream cake or something like that.
And you'd have a piece?
Yep.
And on occasion, you, in the last 4 months, on what, a weekly basis, you'd have a serving or a slice or a piece of something that would say to you be really extra tasty and kind of a splurge?
Yes.
And so every week you still had, usually every week or thereabouts, you still had something that would be what everyone listening to this would consider to be a treat or, something that doesn't really fit the quote-unquote
right.
model.
Yeah, exactly. Except I know when I have done that, but like the one day, for example, I had a slice of Dairy Queen ice cream cake. I went down to our cafeteria and got chicken breast, so I had chicken breast with my ice cream.
So you were still trying to balance it.
Yeah, I was still trying to balance it in there somehow.
Oh, that's funny. the only point I want to make is you didn't live on chicken breast and salads.
Right.
You had variety.
Right.
And you still had something tasty or something, high fat and high carb or whatever about every week.
Right.
Okay.
And then I found just eating the fruits that they were, the taste of the fruit was sweet enough that a lot of times if I had something like that, then I didn't really want anything else. I thought I wanted this candy bar, but I had this instead, and this has a sweet flavor, and that seemed like that was enough to curb that anyway. So,
how much exercise are you doing, and what are you doing?
I try to do something in the morning before I go to work, either if it's walking my dog or riding my bike, or I have a elliptical trainer that I might use for 20, 30 minutes or so before I come into work.
Okay.
And then at lunchtime, I generally just spend about 10 minutes eating my lunch, and then I'll go walk for 20 minutes or so. Usually walk with a friend, or I have walked by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Then at nighttime, I either, again, ride my bike, or there's aerobics classes I've been taking, or the other 3 days a week, I would be downstairs in our gym using the weights we have.
How much total time in a week would you say you spend walking or elliptical training or doing cardio or weights?
Well, I know when I set up my lean account, I generally say I'm going to do 600 minutes in a week, but I haven't actually looked to see if I'm getting all 600 in. I know there's some days I may only have an hour in, but other days I may have 2.5 hours in, so it seems like it's still working. It's not like I'm not exercising at all and or not losing weight still. So,
what do you, and when you say 2.5 hours, there's people right now that just fell over, passed out, thinking about doing 2.5 hours of exercise because all they see in their mind is the sweat, grueling agony of 2.5 hours of stereotypical health club, you know, activity for sweating, you know, for 2.5 hours.
Right.
What's 2.5 hours of activity on that kind of day?
Well, I guess I'd like to split it up, though. I found that if I can split it up, then if for some reason I can't get to something I want to do later, then at least I've done something for the day. So splitting it up for me really helps me. It helps just break it up, and it's not something that's monotonous or, you know, too much effort or...
Right. Well, what is it, though, still? Still 2.5 hours. So what do you, I mean, what is it?
Well, it may be a half hour of walking or a half hour of riding my bike like this morning.
Right.
I think I had 20 minutes. I walked the dog for 20 minutes and rode my bike for 30 minutes, and then I walked at lunchtime today for 20 minutes.
Okay.
So I've already got an hour and 10 minutes now, so when I go home tonight, I will probably do something with the kids because it's a nice day, and then go downstairs and use our weights for another 45 minutes or so.
Or to an hour, and then you're up to over 2 hours.
Right.
So a lot of your activity is walking.
Yeah, it is.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
I wouldn't have thought that before. I wouldn't have thought walking would be so beneficial, but that is a lot of days I just walk for at least half of my exercise, I guess.
Well, you're an excellent example of what can happen when you do walk, because I got to be honest, a lot of my clients, because of the types of goals that a lot of them have, they have to go beyond the walking to get to the level they want to get to, and so I don't get an opportunity to actually speak to a lot of clients that are as successful as you, who spend a lot of their cardio time simply doing leisurely walking or fast-paced walking, or, you know, and taking that the part of their lunch hour that they get, and, you know, a little time before they go to work and doing that. That's an excellent example of the power of walking.
Right.
And so, that's great.
Yeah, I would have thought going into this that I would have had to have done something more strenuous, more calorie-burning, something to get that effect, but...
When you first started logging using the Nutrition Analyzer, I'm going to leave food alone after this for the most part, were you surprised at how much you were eating or how much it was? It is, you know, with walking being a big part of it, you know, I usually say that if you're going to walk, you normally have to do, you know, usually twice as much time than if you're going to do really vigorous elliptical, treadmill, running, swimming, you know, really vigorous activity. Would you say that when you were 180 pounds that your food intake was just extremely high?
Oh, I'm sure it had to be.
Okay.
Because when I started logging, that's when I actually started watching what I ate. So I don't have a actual number of what it was, but it just seemed like it would have to have been at least 3 times what I'm eating now, just calorie-wise. And I mean, like I said, I was good for 2 or 3 servings of pasta and rices, and I may have had my vegetable and chicken to go with it, but I'd still have 3 helpings of pasta, or go out to eat and have that eat that whole meal that they'd serve you. And
Do you ever eat any fast food?
Yeah.
Where?
At McDonald's and...
Whoa, McDonald's. What do you get at McDonald's?
Well, I mean, now I get salads and that. Back then, I would have gotten a fried chicken sandwich and french fries.
Oh, sure. No, how about... I'm talking about now.
No, now I generally get either the chicken sandwich without any mayonnaise, or I get one of their salads.
Okay.
And I've even bought the little apple slices and that for the kid, for myself, if I haven't had my fruit for the day.
Mm-hmm. Where else? Anything besides McDonald's?
Pizza Hut. Get the chicken vegetable pizza. That's one of my favorites.
So you have chicken. Do you have the cheese on it, too?
Yeah.
Okay. So chicken vegetable pizza, Pizza Hut. What else? Subway?
Subway, yeah. I like Subway. I always have liked Subway, but before I would get a 12-inch sandwich, and now I only get a 6-inch sandwich, and I get it on whole wheat, or I get a salad.
How do you balance a sandwich at Subway?
I don't have any cheese on the sandwich, and I tell them no mayonnaise. They can put mustard on it, but no mayonnaise. And then any vegetables that I can get on there.
What about protein?
I usually choose chicken or turkey.
Okay. What do you do now? I would imagine you still feel some pretty strong pulls from time to time toward unhealthy eating. I mean, it completely surrounds us. you know, in almost every place we go and everywhere we are. And like you said, at work, they're bringing in donuts, you know, 3, 4, 5 days a week, whatever. All that, it's just absolutely pervasive. It's everywhere we go. What do you do when you feel the pull toward, oh, to heck with it, let's just have it?
Well, I try to remind myself what my goal was. You know, I think of that dress hanging in my basement that I wanted to fit in that, and I was tired of being heavy, so I guess a lot of times I just try to think before I go to eat something. Mm-hmm. I stop and think, or either try to find an alternative or to do something else to get my mind off of it. You know, maybe.
What do you do? Because people always say, yeah, that all sounds good on paper. Yeah, do something else to get your mind off of it. Well, what do you do?
It seems like at work it's worked out for me where I just haven't been around, so I haven't seen the stuff that's here. And when I walk in the morning, there might be a dozen donuts, but if I go run some errands and have to pick up a couple of cell phone accessories or whatever, then when I come back, they're gone. So I've avoided them, I guess. So
okay.
I tend to try to avoid them.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's tougher for you, eating healthy or keeping activity up where it should be?
Probably keeping activity up where it should be.
Still a time thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it seems easy enough for me to have my vegetables and eat the chicken and fish because I like those foods anyway, but probably trying to get it all to fit in.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you say to the mom that's in your position who says, well, that may be her, but I just don't have the time?
I just found with myself that I had to make the time. I just had to stop and think about what I wanted to do and take the time to do this. You know, like I said, let the dishes go or have the kids do the dishes or something.
Right. Well, did you take any supplements besides a multivitamin and protein and the bars?
No, I mostly just vitamins. I did have, I do have flaxseed oil and fish oil tablets as well as a super B complex, but they're still vitamins. So
okay.
I don't have anything else like that. Anything.
What do you know what size clothes you were wearing when you started and what you're wearing now?
I was wearing 14s and 16s then, and I can actually fit into some 10s and 12s now.
That's great. So what's going on in the future for you? What are your plans now? You've made it through this this first Lifestyle at Work venture, and you're going to win a nice trip that the company is providing a voucher for and that kind of thing. What's going to happen now? You got any plans for the future now that you've had this success?
Well, I'm still not completely where I want to be. I mean, as I said earlier, I still can't fit into that dress yet. I'm getting closer, so I do want to keep trying to lose some more weight. I mean, another 10, 15 pounds, nothing drastic, but
mm-hmm.
And then just kind of check again at that point to see what I think then. But
see where you're at. Besides the physical, which is obvious, I've seen you around town, and you look really, really good, and I see those changes, and and I know others do too. Besides the physical changes, has anything else either within you or in your life changed? Have you noticed anything?
Well, I seem happier with myself. My kids seem like they're happier and better spirits because now I'm actually doing more things with them instead of saying I'm too tired or I don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to be outside riding their bikes, and I can be outside riding a bike with them. My husband and I seem like we have more to talk about. We have more things in common because he's trying to improve his health and his lifestyle, so it seems like that's better. I mean, our marriage is better
mm-hmm.
for it. People that I work with know that I'm serious about this, and they've done things, for example, on my birthday where they chose an angel food cake for my birthday because it didn't have fat in it, and a light ice cream for me instead of something that they would have got otherwise.
Oh, that was really nice of them.
Yeah, so there's people actually noticing and trying to think of what I want and what I like, so I thought that was nice.
That is nice. Were you on any medications that you're not on now? Any health parameters improved at all that you can think of?
Well, a couple years ago, before I was even trying to diet and lose weight, the doctor made a statement that I was hypothyroid and would have to be on this medication for life, and because I was so tired and just run down, and she had taken some blood tests, and they had showed that I was low. And so I thought I'd be on this medication forever, but it seems like since I've started this, I've had it checked at least twice, and each time I'm fine. My numbers normal, in within normal limits and doesn't seem to be an issue right now. So I was glad to hear that. I mean, I'm not one that likes to take a lot of medications anyway, so I was just glad that I didn't have to worry about that.
Do you think that overall it makes sense that the tests are coming out more normal? And what I mean is, do you feel like, I'm not saying that, you know, look, I'm not saying every day we all wake up as a ball of energy, but would you say that overall you have more daily energy?
Oh, I definitely do. I know I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know that we had talked before, too, and there was an allergy medicine or something, too. Wasn't there something that went on with that that was different? Wasn't there some other medication?
Well, I have two medications for my allergies that I do still take. I'm still kind of fighting that from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like if I don't take them, my sinuses are bothering me and complaining about that. But there was an injection I was given, if that's what you're talking about.
Okay.
My doctor gave me what he called a corticosteroid, and when he told me that it was this medication that wouldn't mean I would, he said I would not put on a bunch of muscle over this, but that I could gain weight. Well,
right.
I didn't like to hear that after he'd already given me the shot.
Right.
That didn't make me very happy, but I just was determined that I wasn't going to let that happen. I just thought people that has happened to, maybe they weren't watching their diet, maybe they weren't exercising, and maybe if I just keep with it and stick to it, drink more fluids and watch my balance of eating, that won't affect me. And it didn't seem like it did. So.
Okay. Well, this is the last question. I just want to see, what kind of advice would you give to someone who is given an opportunity through their workplace by the Leanest Lifestyle at Work program, or is just simply, you know, considering right now whether they should try their second or 15th attempt at getting weight off with, any program? What would you suggest to them?
Well, I would think if they have a chance to try something like this, that they should at least try it. And I found for myself, if I could just remain consistent with it and stick to a program, you know, start out, set a goal, and try to meet that goal, and think about it constantly. I mean, every day I thought about choices I had, and I thought about my end result in that, and I guess that would be what I would say, just be consistent and take control of what you want to do.
How many times did we meet in person, and did I hold your hand through this process as far as in person during your 4 months?
Well, I wouldn't say I think we met in person once.
And what was that for?
But that was just to measure my body fat, but otherwise we might have seen each other in passing in town in that, but I don't think I...
In that passing, did I give you great pearls of wisdom on how to make the program work?
No, but
no.
I mean, I found just the information helpful off the website and through the book, too, that I think helped me get where I am today.
So if I don't meet with you in person every day, and I'm not acting like Oprah's personal trainer for you, and I'm offering primarily a 90-some percent internet-driven program with, of course, you know, a book as well, it can still work.
Yes.
So I didn't come and work out with you.
Right.
I didn't show you how to work out, and I didn't show you how to cut up vegetables, and I didn't come and show you how to use the program. I mean, the online program. Right?
Right.
But you still figured it out.
Right.
And it didn't take you very long. So what would you say to the people that say, an internet program? You mean this guy isn't going to come over to my house? I mean, I'm not going to meet with this guy every week and hear a rah-rah speech? How's that going to work? What would you say to them?
Right. I just, again, they should give it a try. It seemed rather user-friendly. It didn't seem that difficult to get through. And if I did have questions, there were plenty of help screens that would help explain it in detail. And if that didn't work, then I was always able to write to you and contact you through the private message of what I was doing wrong or what I could do better or how does this work. So it seemed like there were enough there was enough information to figure out on my own, or if there wasn't, there was resources available to find it, to get the answers.
Now, I know it wasn't this way all the time, but typically when you contacted me, when you're talking about private messaging, that's a personal private system that I developed. It's not email, and it's truly private between you and I, or between me and any single member who contacts me or I contact them. What was a typical response time when you would send me a question?
just anywhere from a few hours to a day. I mean, it didn't. There were many times that I'd hear from you by the end of the day.
Okay. Well, Laura, you've done great. I want to thank you for the interview. I know that you're going to inspire a lot of people to make the right choice. And is there anything you want to add before we conclude the interview?
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, I think you covered it all. You did a great job. I want to thank you for your time, and thanks for the great effort and making yourself another truly successful Leanest Lifestyle success. And keep after it. We'll be in touch, and I look forward to seeing you in another 10 or 15 pounds.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Laura.
All right, thanks.
Hi, this is David Greenwalt, founder of the Leanness Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle Online. If you enjoyed this recording and would like access to my entire library of informative and cutting-edge interviews and conferences, simply visit www.leannesslifestyle.com. And spelling that out, that is www.LeannessLincoln.com. That's www.LeannessLifestyle.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed creating this recording.